guys. Let's move on to item nine, our reports item. Item 9A, trustee reports, meetings, seminars, and conferences. Are there any trustee reports?
You and I went to the NASP conference in Los Angeles.
We did.
Did you have any comments on that, or?
Yeah, I would make just a couple of comments in terms of the presentation. It's always a good presentation. This is the National Association of Securities Professionals. It is a group that is dedicated to inclusion in the investment industry. That's its primary reason for being, but it provides, in this particular conference, a dedicated program on private equity. I've been for several years, as have you, I think, David. So the overarching message on the inclusion issue, just to get it out on the table, is that this group believes that inclusion is business. And the point of inclusion and the messaging that is most desired from this group to be out in the public domain is that it's not about taking a seat. It's not about taking someone else's seat at the table. It's about increasing the number of seats at the table. And the strongly held view was that the group needed to retake the narrative and to really retool the messaging, because they think with all of the noise that's happening, nationally, that their message was potentially being diluted or misunderstood. So that was the overarching theme of the keynoter. With respect to some of the private credit points, I think the one thing that stuck out to me was particularly about the private credit side, is that they see that as a $2 trillion market looking forward. I don't know how that comports with our investment staff's view of it. I know we obviously know we're heavily invested in private credit. And they see it as a pure play without exogenous risk. Whether or not you agree with that, that was what at least one of the main presenters came up with. And I'm looking for my other note because I wrote it down and I can't seem to find it. With regard to venture capital, fundraising is down for the third year in a row, which I thought was interesting. A lot of people are continuing to be on the sidelines, according to the presentations we heard. And the AI surge is impairing the ability to raise capital. That also came through in the presentations. I don't have a granular explanation for that. I'm just telling you that was the report, that the AI surge, the tumult, the investment, the focus on that has really affected in the venture capital space the ability to raise money. And I love the line about with respect to investments, private equity, and exit strategies. The quote was, "We need general partners whose exit strategy is other than an IPO." You know, because that seems to be problematic, right? That's what everybody wants, and that's the angle. And they need the marketplace. This space needs general partners who have a different exit strategy than wanting to be part of an IPO. So those were some takeaways I had from the presentations. I thought it was very good, as always. And David, I don't know, you want to add to that?
Yeah, so some of the themes I got was the issue of uncertainty and volatility happening in our country and in the markets. And having a long-term strategy helps in dealing with this, which we have. Holding extra cash allows for investment opportunities and liquidity. Diversification should be protective. As much as possible, we need to take emotion out of the equation with respect to our investment decisions, which we're taught to do. early on, but sometimes it can be hard to do that. Private markets are still very attractive, but slow exits are a concern, as mentioned, and manager selection is really critical. Emerging managers are seen as a source of alpha generation, but scale of investment is an issue. So for Cicera to take advantage of emerging managers, we would have to go back to a fund of funds type of style in investing. And I know we've been trying to get away from that fund of funds, but in this particular situation, it could be an exception that makes sense. Private markets that are showing promise, infrastructure continues to do so. Secondaries are another consideration, and these are often sold due to liquidity stress. So if you're buying into secondaries, you're hoping to get 35 to 50% discount on the equity. Private credit still looks very, very attractive. As Scott said, that the market is huge, and even though there's been the trend to invest in private credit, there's still so much more that is needed. So there's still a lot of opportunity to invest. They liked real estate credit because it's tied to hard assets, and that means less risk overall. And with respect to venture capital, very bullish on AI. There's a lot of AI opportunities in venture capital. Again, the funding is a challenge given the current market conditions. I think a big part of it is with the volatility and uncertainty in the markets, that people want to be less risk on, then they want to be more conservative. But with venture capital, innovation moves forward regardless of what's going on in the markets. So the needs are always there for innovation. But the big thing is the funding there to develop the innovation. And with respect to biotech, over the next 5 years, Big Pharma will be losing a significant number of patents, protections, and so they see consolidation happening, and that Big Pharma will be looking to buy up a lot of biotech. So venture capital in biotech over the next 5 years could be quite promising. Keynote speaker was very bearish on the short term, negative impact of tariffs, and I guess we'll hear later this afternoon what's going on with that. The whole issue with tariffs and paying for tax reductions doesn't quite pan out. It was quoted that the government might realize $80 billion in revenue from tariffs paid by consumers, but overall tax revenue is $2 trillion. So if our tax revenue gets reduced, will the tariffs really make up for that? He was also very bullish on gold and felt that other safe bets included hard assets, cash, and Trent. So that's what I got.
Very good. Any other reports? Thank you for filling out, rounding that out in terms of the info we got.
Real quick, Tim Price and I went to visit Veris for the RFP on the 28th, and spent a good deal of time with them. That was an interesting experience. So.
Yeah, I don't think we expect or require a public report of that, because currently that's still RFP that's under active consideration. No, I appreciate that. I just didn't want you to think there was, you know, a report required. Any other board member reports? All right, not hearing any. So let's move to, it's 9B, right? I already flipped my page over. 9B, staff reports. Christina.
So just an update on March retirements. We ended March with 141 retirements. So a little bit of an uptick from last year. Last year, we ended at 110, but staff have already started working on those and gathering the information we need to process them. So we still feel like we'll be on target to have them paid by that June 10th date that we told members.
Excellent. It's too bad Milliman wasn't here to hear the updated report for all the retirements.
It's pretty significant, like 30% almost, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not as bad as we saw in 22, which aligns with the Milliman report. 22, we were at 200. So it's definitely a tick up, but not like another 22 for us.
All right. Any other staff reports? Not seeing any hands go up or anything else, so it's, I guess the answer is no. All right. Well, with that, we're going to move into closed session to take up items 10, 11, and 12. And we'll return when we can. Don't go too far. We'll take a short respite and let's meet in the conference room.